Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Circus barkers and snake oil salesmen know how to gather a crowd. They shout at the top of their lungs with tantalizing and intriguing tales in hopes of gathering a large crowd around. Then they can go to work taking their money. Well, John the Baptist was not interested in money, but he knew how to gather a crowd. All the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him. They weren't flocking out to see John to see a circus act or buy any magic elixir. They weren't going for a feel-good kind of sermon. No, John was not after the people's money. He was preparing the way. As he prepared the way, he was not concerned about anyone's feelings. He wasn't afraid to preach the truth from God's word, like when he called out King Herod for committing adultery with Herod's brother's wife. The people who came to hear Paul, or John, they come to hear him preach law and gospel, and to confess their sins and be baptized. You see, John, although he is in the New Testament, he's considered to be the last and the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. His coming was foretold 400 years prior by the prophet Malachi. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from before birth. But John wouldn't want to hear our accolades. All he wanted to be known as was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. John knew that he was only the warm-up act for the one who was to come. He preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." The greatest and last prophet of the Old Testament knew he was not even worthy to be Jesus' slave, not even bend over and untie his sandals. And the reason? Those sandals belong to God. Who among us is worthy to touch the sandals of God? John is preparing the way for the incarnate Jesus, that is, God the Son, leaving the glory of heaven and assuming the human nature into his divine person. In theology, it's called the doctrine of the personal union of Christ. But there's a much easier way of saying that. It's God wearing sandals. God put on the flesh and bone of man. He put on sandals and walked miles upon miles before entering into Jerusalem, where he would win salvation for all of mankind to comfort his people. It's that same comfort that we heard about in our Old Testament text, where Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, says, "Comfort, comfort my people." And for the believer in Christ, there's nothing greater than the comfort that we receive from our Heavenly Father. Nothing is more comforting to wake up in the morning and know that Jesus has already taken the punishment for our sins. He has reconciled us back to the Father, making peace between us and God. It's comforting to know that He always hears our prayers. It's comforting to know that He sits at the right hand of the Father, who is indeed interceding for us. And in this morning's context, it's great to know, comforting to know, that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is among them. But unfortunately, as sinners, such as you and me, we frequently discard the comfort that Christ so freely pours out on us. We would rather exchange it for the comfort of our own sin. Rather than using your time, talents, and treasures and all that God has given you, using it for the good of your neighbor and the glory of God, well, you use it for your own purposes. It makes you more comfortable. Rather than being comforted by the curb and the mirror and the guide of God's law, you find it much more comfortable to pretend that, well, I'm baptized. I don't have to pay attention to the law anymore. You know, once saved, always saved. You and I also like to, rather than being comforted by God's gifts and word and sacrament, it's usually and most likely more comforting to be distracted by the world and all of its attractions. While we try to make ourselves comfortable, John the Baptist was quite uncomfortable with the thought of stooping down to untie Jesus' sandals because he knew who Jesus was. But you and I, on the other hand, we want to get too comfortable with Jesus. We want him to be our best buddy. And we take him for granted to the point that we no longer fear, love, and trust him above all things. And when we're too comfortable with Jesus, we lose sight that he is God. The Word become flesh, leaving heaven, putting on sandals to do the Father's will of winning salvation for all of mankind. Now, as we talked about down in Bible study this morning, Jesus could have remained comfortable, sitting in heaven, in the glory where everything was his footstool. But instead of that kind of comfort, he came down and humbled himself to win salvation. It was his love that drew him out of heaven, stooping down so that he could have his hands and feet nailed to the cross as the suffering servant. So when you suffer, please know that Jesus, God in flesh, greater than all, he has already suffered greater sufferings than you. Even though we see him as a God hidden away in heaven, he has scars to go along with his sandals. The incarnate Jesus came in a body just like yours, and in his humiliation was made complete through his suffering. His suffering is more important to you than your own suffering. And then there are times when we deal with temptations. But please know that with a body just like yours, Jesus also suffered temptation, greater temptations than you and I have suffered. And his resisting temptation is more important than that of your own. Yes, John was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, but he wasn't qualified to untie Jesus' sandals. John, in fact, knew exactly what Isaiah meant when he foretold of Jesus' coming. When Isaiah said, "Behold your God." Remember those words, "Behold your God." "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." John knew Jesus was coming with law and gospel. He was coming in judgment and salvation. He was coming to punish the wicked, but for the believer, he would pour out grace upon grace for his children. It's Jesus, God in the flesh, wearing sandals, walking miles upon miles, while keeping God's law perfectly in your stead, carrying your sin, carrying your burdens and your sorrows to the cross. This God, he wore a crown of thorns. He wore a purple robe, and he had sandals on as he was presented by Pilate to the crowds. And there's an interesting connection between Isaiah and Pontius Pilate. In our Old Testament text, God says, "Behold your God." Pilate correctly announced Jesus to the crowds, "Behold the man, true God and true man, God incarnate, walking mightily in sandals, walking into death so that you might live, pouring out his innocent blood so that his blood might wash away your sins. God in the flesh, arising in the flesh of man, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, still true God." John preached that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When you were baptized, Jesus saved you by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, you might become an heir according to the hope of eternal life. That Holy Spirit has regenerated you. You are a new creation. God's word does what it says. You are regenerated, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're now able to use your gifts for God's glory and for the good of your neighbor. By the Holy Spirit, you no longer need to live as an enemy of God, but you can delight in the law of the Lord. You can joyfully gather to receive Jesus' priceless gifts, even when it makes you uncomfortable. The one who came after John was mightier than John and mightier than you and me. Jesus in the human life wearing sandals is much mightier than the record of your past, and his human crucifixion is mightier than all of your sins, and his human resurrection is mightier than sin, death, and the devil for all mankind. So as we prepare for Jesus coming in this Advent season, when you see Jesus hanging on the cross, remember Isaiah's words, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Your holy warfare is ended, your iniquity is pardoned, and you have received from the Lord's hand double the forgiveness of all your sins." You deserve none of that. But because of Christ Jesus hanging on the cross in your stead, God pours out a double portion for the sake of his Son, Jesus. He is perfect God, and he is perfect man. He had to be God, otherwise the Holy Spirit would not be poured out in the waters of baptism. John's baptism of water was just a baptism of repentance. But Jesus' institution of baptism is a baptism of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of all your sins. And while he baptized his disciples on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is still with us today. Jesus coming to you, pouring out his Spirit through his word at the font and also in his Holy Supper. We can be comforted as we await Jesus' return. He is coming soon. In our epistle text, we read, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but that all should reach repentance." These are comforting words. comforting even for those who do not know that Jesus died in their place. And as we are comforted, awaiting his return, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. And then when he does return, he will gather his lambs in his arms, and he will carry them into his bosom. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.